Amen. Well, hey, folks, I don't know if you guys have noticed this or not, but unfortunately, sometimes in the church, I almost hate to say it, but we act like a bunch of hypocrites. Have you noticed that sometimes? Yeah, I know, it's kind of uncomfortable, whatever, but, you know, the proof's in the pudding, right? And I just want to give you one easy example, unfortunately. You know, sometimes we say, you know, new people, we're excited about new people, like, hey, man, you're new. No offense to you, this has nothing to do with you, okay? Because you've been here four or five times, so I got that, I remember that part. But, you know, we're so excited. We say, oh, just, it's so good to see you, man. New, whatever. And then next thing you know, we turn around and we do something hypocritical like this. Watch this. This is crazy.
There's a lot of hand sanitizer in church. Anybody notice that? I don't know. At my church, they have these two hand sanitizer stations right by the front door greeters. That is not a good message. People come in on Sunday. How you doing? Nice to see you all. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming. You're going to love it here. We just love people. You can just be yourself. You can just be yourself. We don't care. We don't judge you. We just love. You sit back, and whatever questions you have, you let us know. We'll let you know whatever we can do for you, okay? Y'all newly married? You got four kids? Four kids. That is amazing. God love. We love kids here. Kids are like a little gift from God is what they are. They are just wonderful little creatures that God gives us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where y'all from? Arkansas? Okay. There's some mints in the basket. Grab a handful, you circus freaks. Go ahead.
Oh, does that sound familiar or what? Right? Unfortunately, it's easy to play the role of a hypocrite, okay? And but anyway, yeah, if you're saying, yeah, I'm glad to see you, but then you're using 4 pounds of hand sanitizer and call them a circus freak, that kind of gives it away, folks. It's not a good thing, okay? Now, folks, as bad as that is, and believe it or not, as hypocritical as that is, I think I found something that's even worse than that. You see, the church is all about, hey, we want to just love people. We love you, and we're not just glad you're here. We love you, and we're here for you, and we want to take care of you. But on the one hand, they say you love them. But on the other hand, you never talk about Bible prophecy. And you know why that's hypocritical? Because people need to be warned about what's coming to this planet. It's called the 7-year tribulation, and it is not a joke. God wrote it down in his word. We're not making this up. Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, so horrible that unless that time frame was kept to, if you will, 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. Don't you think people should at least know about that and have an opportunity to escape that like the rest of us? That's true biblical love, is letting people know. But God's, again, as we've been seeing, he's not just God of wrath. He's a God of love as well. And how does he demonstrate that love? Right? He tells us right here in his word. He's been telling us for 2,000 plus years about that time frame. And he's made provision through Jesus Christ so we can escape it. Now that is love. Right? And that's what he expects for us to do and extend to other people as well. And so that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Now, if you've been tracking with this, we already know that the first of the two signs we've dealt with, of course, was the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And there we did a 20-week study on that topic. And then the last 12 times, who's counting? I am. The last 12 times, we dealt with a second sign, and that is modern technology and the AI invasion. Another sign from God that it's getting close, right? We don't know the day nor the hour, but he gives us times that it's getting close. Signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising all around us. And we leave at the rapture prior, so it's even more short for you and I. Now, so far we've seen the first 6 future prophecies concerning the rise of modern technology and artificial intelligence as a sign we're living in the last days. And, of course, the first 3 studies was the increase of travel. Then we dealt with the increase of communication. Then we dealt with the increase of distribution. Then we dealt with the increase of electronic transactions, creating a cashless society. Why? Because the next sign is electronic markings, the mark of the beast system. You need a cashless society to pull that off, and that's already being put into place. And then the last 4 times, we saw the increase of electronic monitoring. What we've been looking at is Revelation 13 implies that the false prophet and the Antichrist are literally going to create a Big Brother surveillance society. Why? Because the text says there that they are going to literally micromanage the whole planet. They're going to know what everybody is saying, what everybody is doing, and they're going to know if you obey or not the Antichrist's order to worship him, because it says there the penalty is if you don't worship him, and he'll know on a global basis, you're going to die. So in order for that passage to be fulfilled, you got to have some serious monitoring of the whole planet 24/7, right? Well, that's what we've been seeing, okay? That system is not coming. It's already here in a multitude of ways. Now, we saw that, of course, with the first one was the information system. The second one was the satellite system, the big brother eye in the sky watching our every move, okay? Then the last three times we saw the third type was the camera system. Now, that's the big brother eye on the ground watching our every move, not just from above, but even from below. And we saw they're doing that with cameras and microphones, by the way, hidden in secret away from you and I, that's recording, watching everything we do, no matter where you go. We saw that with in the cities. We saw that in the streets. We saw that in buildings. We saw that in the transportation system. In our last study, we saw even the billboards. Remember that? Minority Report, watching you. They're already coming out with those. The billboards are watching you. And then, of course, we saw body cams. All these camera devices that people are putting on their bodies, not just the police, but even people with the glasses, all this new technology they say they got to have is being put into place. So that means literally every single person that walks by, every person anywhere could become a potential big brother device watching your every move. There is no place to hide. No wonder the 7-year tribulation is not only a time to avoid hello, it's clearly a time where there is going to be wholesale slaughter. Nobody is going to get away in that time frame. It's going to be absolutely horrible. You don't want to be there. Now, once again, they're not just doing this, as we saw the last couple studies, in secret, mysterion, right? That's already being put into play behind the scenes, not letting us know. But they're doing it. The Antichrist is setting up this system in a deceitful, lying manner. And that's exactly what the Bible says is two of the tactics he's going to use to set this system into play. So let's go back again to that text, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's take a look at two more aspects of how does the Antichrist dupe the planet? How does he build this big brother micromanagement system? And so that people will ultimately perish. Those who make the number one biggest mistake, you should have got saved right now through Jesus Christ and avoided the whole thing, right? But let's take a look at that time frame. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 through 10. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. But this is where we said, verse 7 is where we left off the first aspect. For the secret power of lawlessness, right? The Antichrist. What is it? The secret, right? What was that? Remember that? That was mysterion. Things hidden from us, right? So that's what he's going to do. And it says there, it's not just in action. It's what? It's what? Already at work. So secret things being hidden from us behind the scenes is already being laid to create his net that he's doing. Now it says this as you continue on. He says, but the one who now holds it back, okay, who is this? This is the classic passage, one of them dealing with what's called the restrainer, the restraining influence. This is the Holy Spirit's presence in you and I, the church, right? As long as we're still here, the Antichrist ain't going to appear. We have to disappear before he appears. Why? Because many people want to put the church in the 7-year tribulation. Are you kidding me? If we were in the 7-year tribulation, we know the scripture, right? We'd be the first ones pointing him out. There he is. That's the Antichrist. Don't fall. No, so we have to disappear first. Then he will be revealed. And that's exactly what Paul says here. He says, for you know what's holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's what? He's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one, the Antichrist, will also what? Not just be in secret, but in accordance with the work of who? Satan, displayed in all kinds of genuine? No. Counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who perish. But why do they perish? They perish because they refuse to love the what? The truth, and so be saved. You may be seated. In other words, these people, even dare I say, today, how many people left behind and find themselves in the 7-year tribulation will say, man, I should have listened to my Christian brother or sister, my loved one, my coworker, my neighbor. Why didn't I listen? I refused to love the truth. They tried to warn me, right? But it's going to continue on for a lot of people in the 7-year tribulation. They're still not going to want to hear the truth, right? And so they perish in their way. But this passage gives us two more characteristics of the Antichrist. How does he pull this off? How does he dupe the whole world? Okay, how does he create this system, right? Number one, again, he does it in secret there, mysterion, okay? But he tells us he's also going to use what? False, counterfeit, lying, signs, and wonders, and miracles, okay? Basically, what's he going to do? He's going to be a big giant liar and a big giant deceiver. Now, that shouldn't be a surprise to us because it says they're also in accordance with the work of who? Satan. You take a look at what Jesus said about, there's many different characteristics of Satan, but Jesus in John chapter 8 says two things that are very important about Satan and whom we have to deal with. And the Antichrist is emulating that. Jesus said that Satan is a liar and he's a what? The father of all lies, but he's also a murderer and he's been one from the beginning. So it's not a surprise then that the Antichrist, Satan's man at this time in the 7-year tribulation, he's going to be a big giant liar as well, and he's going to deceive people ultimately so that they will perish and die if you don't do what he says to do. But this is what he gives. He tells us that right now he's going to give us, not just do these things in secret, he's going to use lies and deceit. And folks, I'm telling you that is what is being done right now. Right now, not just as we saw last time with the billboards, not just with these body cams, but this next one, folks, and at first I thought it was going to be a two-parter, but it's all just on this one topic. One of the biggest things that we are being lied to and deceived about, that I truly believe, and it's happened just in our lifetime. Don't tell me this is just like the same old, same old. But the next technology that we are being lied to and deceived about is this thing, the cell phone. And it's just happened in our lifetime, folks. Just in time, I truly believe, for the 7-year tribulation. Folks, I will make this unashamedly, this statement. I believe the cell phone is the biggest big brother device ever invented and thrust upon mankind in the history of mankind. And we are being lied to about it. Oh, by the way, we pay for it. Now that's deceitful. That's what a liar would do, okay? Now the first deceitful lie that they say about our cell phones, let me just bring it out for you, is they'll say, hey, don't worry, we're never going to monitor you. Really? Folks, whether you realize that all these nifty devices, these cell phones that we all have to have, by the way. I mean, apparently it's not even an option anymore, right? In fact, you see even kids 3 and 4 years old got a cell phone. What are you doing? What are you doing? But you got to have a cell phone. Remember even back in the Obama administration? I mean, even the government wanted to make sure that we all had a cell phone. Because remember that? Got to get my free Obama phone, my Obama phone. Remember that? Why would the government want to make sure that everybody had a cell phone? I think we'll know why here in just a little bit, okay? But it turns out, folks, these devices, these cell phones, cannot just be tapped into. They can be easily tapped into. And they don't just listen to you and monitor your conversations. They can watch you through the exact same device. All in one device. It is a 24-hour monitoring device. And I'm just going to give you one report here in Las Vegas of just how easy it's done to anybody, anywhere. Watch this.
Sometimes you know your phone has been hacked, but often you don't. We sat down with some of the world's best hackers who showed us just how easy it is for them to get access to everything on your phone.
Is everything hackable?
Yes.
Everything?
Yes.
If somebody tells you, you can't do it.
I don't believe it.
John Herring offered to prove it. So he gathered a group of ace hackers at our Las Vegas hotel. Each of them a specialist in cracking mobile devices.
How easy is it to break the phone right now?
Very easy.
As you've seen, pretty trivial.
So do I need to connect to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It started when we logged on to the hotel Wi-Fi. At least, it looked like the hotel Wi-Fi. Herring had created a ghost version. It's called spoofing.
I mean, this looks legitimate.
It looks very legitimate. So are you connected?
I am.
And I have your email.
You have access to my email right
now? Yeah, it's coming through right now. I now have a ride-sharing application up here. All the information that's being transmitted, including your account ID, your mobile phone, which I just got the mobile number. Then more importantly, I have all the credit cards associated with that account.
Now, the hack that you just saw only took a matter of minutes, and I was fooled by that fake Wi-Fi. But in other demonstrations that we're going to show you on Sunday, the hackers were able to exploit a hole in the global cellular network and get into our phones, turn on our cameras, listen to us. All they needed for that was a phone number. With just the phone number, they could hack into my phone. It doesn't matter what you do, what decisions you make, whether you turn location services on or off, they can still get in.
You say even though if you're getting dressed or whatever, they can have access to your camera on your phone?
Yeah, so think about this. So with just the phone number, they were able to access my phone. So can I borrow your phone for a second because I didn't bring mine?
Sure. Yeah.
So my phone looked just like this. It didn't light up. No light came on.
Yeah.
And they were able to watch me and listen to me. So imagine you take your phone into a meeting, you place it on the desk. You take your phone, you know, when you're getting dressed in the morning. They could be watching you
and you wouldn't know.
Well, I'm struggling for a word to find. How do you describe that kind of behavior with this technology? That's deceitful. Somebody lied to me to get me to, oh, by the way, we pay for it, to carry around my person. Don't leave home without it. I mean, you leave your Bible at home, but don't leave that cell phone at home. This device that could, what did they say that thing can do? Everything, folks. Not just hack into your phone, but any phone on a, what is that, global network. And not just get your data, but you saw your email information, your financial information. You could not just listen to the conversations. You can turn on the camera. The light won't even pop on. You'll never even know. They'll even watch you and anything else going on around you with your cell phone. Oh, by the way, they're not just called cell phones. What's the word that we use all the time? Smartphones. Now, I've said this to them blue in the face. I'll say it again. Anytime you see the word smart before anything, supplant it for what it really means. It means big brother. Right? Lord willing, next week we're going to get into your so-called smart house. Right? Smart thermometer. Smart thermostat. Smart meters. Smart devices. Smart fridge. Folks, it all means big brother. And it's the same thing with your cell phone. It's basically, it's a big brother device. It's a big brother phone is really what it is, okay? And again, we are the one paying for it. Now, here's where I'm going with this. This is not only lying and deceitful, which is two of the characteristics we saw. The Antichrist is going to implement his big brother system in the seven-year tribulation. But I also believe that this one device, the smartphone, the big brother phone, is also going to help explain how in the world is he going to pull off what Jesus said is going to happen to people in the seven-year tribulation. And that's this text here, Matthew 24, 9 through 10. I think the cell phone answers the whole enchilada, not to mention all the other technology we've seen before. But Jesus said this, then during that time, the people in the seven-year tribulation, it's not the church, but he said, that's the context. Jesus said, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by how many? All nations because of me. It's a global hatred. Of who? Of anybody that turns to God. At that time, though, Jesus said, many in the seven-year tribulation will turn away from the faith and will what? What's the word there? Betray and hate each other. Okay? So Jesus said the people in the seven-year tribulation, again, not the church, he says there's going to be people who become followers of God. Now, obviously, he's talking about people who get saved after the rapture. And that is a possibility. The Bible talks about God's word still going forth with the 144,000 male Jewish witnesses. The Bible also talks about the two witnesses that we see there. It also even talks about in Revelation about the angel that declares the eternal gospel, right? The people can still get saved in the seven-year tribulation. Now, the problem is, man, you should have got saved now and avoid the whole thing. Because what you see with these people that, okay, praise God you got saved, but it's going to be a wholesale slaughter. By the time you get in the first half and the fifth seal, it is an absolute slaughter. The Greek word that's used there about these people get taken out, I believe it's sphazo, and it literally means to butcher, to cut up like a bunch of animals. It's just a horrible time frame. And Revelation also says that those people, guess what's coming back to the planet? Decapitation. You get your head chopped off. It's a good thing we don't see any culture bringing back decapitation in our life. Yeah, that's a whole nother sermon. Just in time for the seven-year tribulation. But Jesus said those people who, man, you should have gotten saved before and avoided the whole thing. Okay, now you're in the seven-year tribulation. Okay, praise God you got saved. But he says the whole planet is going to hate you. They're going to hate those people. Why? Because they're followers of God. But Jesus said what? He says, they're not just going to hate you, they're going to want to kill you. And the way that that's going to happen, the word he says there is, they're going to betray you. You will be betrayed. In other words, you will be turned in. And so you put all this together and you go, well, wait a second. I mean, this is on a global basis. How are they going to know who's a follower of God and who's not? How are they going to be betrayed? How are they going to be turned in so that they will know, oh no, that person didn't worship the Antichrist. They're still following God. I don't have it on me for reasons obvious, but if I had one, I'd hold up, guess what? The cell phone. The cell phone, folks, can do it all, and it just happened in our lifetime. And don't tell me those things won't continue on the seven-year tribulation. They will. The cell phone can do it all, folks. It is there to 24 hours a day, monitor everybody's conversation, can tap into you, can see what you're doing, anything you're saying and doing, anybody around you. It's already here. I believe it answers that aspect, okay? In fact, nowadays, folks, we don't have to wait for a group of hackers to come here to Las Vegas and one of the hotels to get into our phone, okay? I want to demonstrate just how easy it is, not just for anybody, but a multitude of ways to hack into these devices that somehow we think is totally secure. They're not. Not even close, folks. In fact, you can have your phone hacked into just to something as simple as downloading an app. Right? And again, not just everybody's got to have a cell phone, but when you get a cell phone, what's the first thing you got to do? I got to download these apps, right? There's an app for that. You've heard there's an app for everything. You got to have app. Give me an app. You have an app attack, okay? But one of the things you've got to have when you first get your cell phone, because who can find it in the background with all the, I don't know where it's at. You got to download that flashlight app, because that's the coolest thing about having a cell phone. Well, folks, you download that flashlight app, you just gave people around the world the ability to come into your phone. Watch this.
We have a really interesting story. Our guest here, Gary Malefsky, is with the company Snoopwall. Gary, thanks for being here. It's an interesting and alarming story that you have about this study.
I think this is bigger than Ebola right now, because 500 million people are infected and they don't know it. But it's not them, it's their smartphones.
So tell me the breakdown. How does this happen?
So let me give you an example. If you went to the hardware store, you'd buy a flashlight and you'd turn it on and you'd use it to find your car keys at night or to do some work. We've all installed a flashlight app on our phones.
This is the app that you put on and it just goes up. It's a flashlight.
Exactly. And instead of being a normal flashlight, when you hit the on button, this flashlight app is kind of like a real flashlight from the hardware store, except it was made by Mr. Gadget. And it opens up and it says, Brett, can I have your name, address, credit cards, bank account information, family photos, videos, where you're located right now, and all your friends and contacts, and can I send that out over this little satellite dish attached to the flashlight? You probably wouldn't buy that flashlight, and you wouldn't hit the on switch.
But that's what's happening?
That's what's happening. The top 10 flashlight apps today that you can download from the Google Play Store are all malware. They're malicious, they're spying, they're snooping, and they're stealing.
So where does that information go? What happens to it?
So I've been tracking down where it goes, and I've found three countries so far: China, India, and Russia.
And they use it for various purposes, I guess?
They use it pretty much, it seems, for criminal purposes, but if a nation state wants to collect a lot of information on Americans, this is a great way to do it, because everybody installs a flashlight app.
Man, if only I could think of the word to describe this behavior. I mean, I just wanted a flashlight on my phone, and because I can't find it in the background, and it's just supposed to... It's called, you liar. You're being deceitful. And who's setting this whole system up? Well, the people realize or not, folks, I believe it's all part of the Antichrist system. A flashlight app. Right? To, quote, collect a lot of information. And, oh, by the way, guess who was? It was China, India, Russia. Foreign companies are now, and not just companies, foreign countries can monitor me anywhere on the planet. Wow. And think about it. Wouldn't that come in handy? I mean, you put yourself, unfortunately, in the seven-year tribulation, and you're trying to hide out. Right? Praise God, you made the decision to accept Christ as your Savior. You got saved, right? But you're hiding out because you know it's a slaughterhouse out there. But nobody can find you. Really? They'll hear every conversation. They'll see everything you're doing. There's no way to escape. This device does it all. No wonder it's a time frame to avoid. Oh, by the way, he went on to say in that report, for those of you right now who are, I see what you're doing. I'm getting that thing off of here. Let me encourage you. He went on to say that even if you uninstall the app, the Trojan is still there. Quote, you have to do a factory reset, and quote, maybe that will work. Maybe. Wow. But hey, it's a good thing it's just only be done in those foreign communist countries. I mean, you know, that we wouldn't do that here in America, would we? Are you kidding me? Folks, guess who's doing the same thing? Facebook. Now, that shouldn't be too much of a surprise. I'm not condoning it. But we saw in our information study, they're building one of the biggest dossiers on people on the whole planet. Right? But Facebook has done the same thing with their app. They came out with the Messenger app. If you want a message in your Facebook account while you're on your cell phone, right? They force you, if you want to do that, you have to download their app. There's no, I mean, at least with the flashlight, you had an option. But Facebook recently came out and says, no, you have to do this. Well, guess what? Now Facebook gets to monitor everything you do, whether you like it or not, on top of all the information they're gathering on us. Watch this. This is crazy, too.
Did you hear about this? Is Facebook playing another big brother? Some users are saying the social media site is really crossing the line with their new Messenger app.
Right. So joining us now is tech expert Anthony Mangaluzzo. Anthony, thanks for joining us. So many people are talking about this Messenger app. It used to be optional, but now it's going to be mandatory, I guess, if you download. You have to download it. So how does it all work, and why are people all worried about this?
So basically, this new app is getting terrible reviews. It has a 1 out of 5 stars on the iPhone App Store and similar ratings with Android. What the Messenger app basically does is you have to give away all of your privacy. You allow Facebook to look at your call list, your contacts, your text messages. It can even use your recording device and your camera device on your phone without even telling you.
Okay, that's the thing that scared me the most. Take me through that. I'm holding my phone right now.
Yep.
And if I have this Messenger app, they can see what I see, or even worse, spy on me with what I'm doing?
Hey, most of your phones nowadays have 2 cameras, the front camera and the back camera. So legally, you are giving them access to those cameras when you install this application.
So some creepy guy in the San Francisco Bay Area at some place in Facebook can be looking live at what I'm looking at?
I was going to say, don't even worry about San Francisco. Facebook is global. Around the world, they could look at you.
Now notice, it isn't just listening with your cell phone. What is it? Watching with your cell phone. All bases are covered, folks. Okay? And again, isn't that deceptive of Facebook to do that? And again, there's no option. If you want to use that service, okay, hey, you are forced to download this app. The flashlight, again, was optional, but not with Facebook. Okay? And again, we pay for it. We pay for this device. It's crazy, folks. There's no way this is by chance. But again, you might be saying, hey, Pastor Bill, I don't know what you ate over vacation, but you're kind of on the really edge here with the conspiracy theory stuff, okay? Well, first of all, hello. I'm sharing the actual news reports. I'm not making it up. All right? How many more videos do I got to show with you, okay? But I want to give you some proof, folks, that even the secular people are starting to get extremely alarmed. And they're admitting, folks, this is the biggest Big Brother tracking monitoring device ever invented in mankind's history. Now, let me give you just this headline, recent headline. It says, your phone is listening and it's not paranoia. So turn to somebody and say, Pastor Billy is not him crazy. Okay? I'm not the only one, folks, that is dealing with what's going on. And here's what they say in that article. Watch this. This is crazy. They say, a couple years ago, something strange happened. A friend and I were sitting at a bar, iPhones in our pockets, discussing our recent trips in Japan and how we would like to go back. The very next day, we both received pop-up ads on Facebook about cheap flights to Tokyo. It seemed like just a spooky coincidence, but then everyone seems to have a story about their smartphone listening to them. In fact, folks, it's way more common than you can even think. Let me give you some actual examples that were mentioned in that article. Watch this. Nate, he said, my fiance and I both had a wedding, both had wedding ads the day after we got engaged before we what? We ain't told anyone. We bought the ring in the spur of the moment and never looked anything related up. Just 2 weeks ago, my fiance and I went to a friend's house and drank a certain kind of liquor that neither of us had ever had or even talked about before on the phone. The next morning, it was the first ad Facebook showed them. What does that mean? That thing is on all the time, listening, watching, monitoring everything you say. John said, I lost the hearing in my right ear, so I was given a made-for-an-iPhone compatible hearing aid. This meant I could make calls, stream music, etc., using my new hearing aid. Now, whenever the phone connected to the hearing aid, there would be this audible change, like a little click. In both the Facebook Messenger app and the main Facebook app, I would hear that click and the flipping over to the audio source for my hearing aid at inexplicable times, including when I had audio from apps disabled. So he had it shut off. They were still tapping into it. That's lying. That's deceitful. Lindsay said, last week I left my employment and I sat with my friend having a chat about which direction I was going to go in. I said, I like coffee. I might just end up at Starbucks so I can drink more coffee. Ha ha. The next time I checked my Facebook phone, I saw a Starbucks advertisement that said they were holding an open event in London to find new staff. Wow. Justin, he said, I was talking at a bar with some friends about getting a new mattress. And while we were talking about various beds and mattresses, suddenly 2 mattress ads appear on Facebook within 5 minutes of the conversation. And there was none before the conversation, That happened in 5 minutes. Melissa said, I visited a friend who was setting up security cameras at her house, and I've never used the internet to look up anything remotely linked to home security. Yet less than an hour after discussing how to set up the cameras, I had a Facebook ad for home security cameras, and my phone had been in my pocket the whole time. Apparently, it can hear so well, it can hear through your clothes. Wow. Austin said, once my friend was over and he discussed that he needed LASIK eye surgery. Immediately afterwards, I went on Facebook and a LASIK advertisement appeared. I have perfect eyesight and have never searched for LASIK before. But they were there listening to the conversation and assumed that you need it too. Right? Oh, and Peter said, I saw a product at school called Bug Assault Salt Shooting Gun. Have you guys seen those? This is kind of cool. That's a guy thing. Used for killing flies. Something I'd never seen before, nor searched before. But that night, I was telling my wife about the product in a what? Personal conversation. The following morning, my Facebook opened with an ad from Amazon with a bug assault fly killer gun listed as things you might be interested in that you and your wife were talking about in the bedroom that you thought was private. I'm not making any of this up, folks. This is what's going on with the phone right now. I mean, if only, I don't know about you guys, I'm struggling to find the right word. How do you describe this behavior with this technology? You liar. That's deceitful. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is going to do. Right? Folks, I'm telling you, this is going on. Oh, and by the way, I don't have time, but I bet you if we had time, because I could see your heads nodding, we have our own stories of this happening to us, don't we? So we know, folks, this is not a stretch. It's not some wacky conspiracy theory. In fact, it goes on to say, the article says, is this just paranoia? Or are our smartphones actually listening? Well, according to Dr. Hinway, the senior security consultant for cybersecurity at Asterix, the short answer is yes, they are. Whether it's timing or location-based or usage of certain functions, apps are accessing the microphones. An ordinary conversation with a friend about needing a new pair of jeans could be enough to activate it. So yes, our phones are listening to us. Listen to this. And anything we say around our phones could, quote, potentially be used against us. Including somebody in the 7-year tribulation who, man, you made the worst mistake of your life. You could have gotten saved right now and avoided the whole thing. Now you're in the 7-year tribulation. Praise God you got saved, but now you're on the run because it's a slaughterhouse. But nobody will find you. They won't know that you're a follower of God. They won't know that you didn't worship the Antichrist like the whole planet was ordered to. Oh, yes, they will. What you say, what they see, it's all on the cell phone, will be used against you. They're already saying it in our lifetime, just in time for the 7-year tribulation. In fact, folks, I want to give you an example of just how easy it is to do. Even a 14-year-old recently found out how easy it is that our phones could be hacked into while even playing video games. Watch this.
14-year-old Grant Thompson was getting ready to play video games with his friends when he stumbled upon an alarming glitch in Apple's FaceTime app.
I tried to FaceTime my friend Nathan to see if he wanted to play some video games with me. And he didn't answer right away, so I swiped up on the FaceTime to add another person, my friend Diego.
That's when he discovered the call to his first friend automatically connected, even though his friend hadn't picked up the call yet.
I was pretty, shocked that, we could hear him and he could hear us.
That confusion turned out to be a major bug in Apple's group FaceTime software, which allowed iPhone users to hear audio from the recipient's phone, even if that person had not yet picked up the call.
Can I translate that for you? Folks, let's get real. If a 14-year-old could accidentally stumble across hacking into people's cell phones, do you think the professionals are going to have any trouble with this? Do you think the Antichrist is going to have any problem with this? Are you kidding me? Oh, this is not even my notes. I got to say this. I'm sorry if we're going to go over, but this is the biggest lie out there. Remember a couple years ago when they had that unfortunate shooting? Was it down in San Diego, Southern California? Right? With that Muslim person, that lady, and they had their cell phone. Right? And then they made the big old thing about, we got to get into their cell phones to find out who their contacts are, but Apple won't let us. Are you kidding me? That's a lie. That was a whole smokescreen. Folks, anybody can get any of these things. That was a lie. Because they can get in there whether Apple wants you or not. Even a 14-year-old could do it, folks. And I'm making this up, folks. And it gets, unfortunately, worse as you go. Now, I got to share this with you because this is crazy. Watch this one. This is another headline. Because, again, a lot of times, some of us, if we're hip to the technology, we've had suspicions, like with the Facebook ads suddenly popping up, that it's listening to me. I can't believe it. It's listening. It's not just the listening. You got to get it through your head. They're watching you, too. Through your cell phone, right? Watch this one. You should cover your cell phone selfie camera, too. That's the article, folks. Secular guys are picking up on it. Oh, and by the way, I cropped it out, but that guy was sitting on the... He was going to the bathroom. Because that's what they want you to realize. Because oftentimes, I hear it's a trend, apparently. People are on their cell phones in the bathroom. And they say this. Take a look at your smartphone. Perhaps you're reading this story on it. And the device is planted firmly in your hands. Maybe you're on the laptop and your phone is sitting, resting face up on your desk. Now focus your attention on the phone's selfie camera. Try to imagine what is in its field of view. Unless your phone's camera has a cover on it, you may not be the only one with that same picture in their mind. It wasn't long ago that the idea of covering up your laptop webcam was considered paranoid. And that's only for those tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy people, you know, like Pastor Billy. But that began to shift, listen to this, when Mark Zuckerberg accidentally revealed that even he had tape obscuring the view from his laptop's camera. So why should the selfie camera be different? Quote, it's not. They say this is pretty unnerving stuff. And folks, can I tell you something? It's all over the place. It isn't just 14-year-olds. It's not just corporations like Facebook. It's just not just foreign countries like China and India and Russia hacking into our phones. The government's doing it. In fact, they've been doing it for a long time, folks. Every conversation. Watch this. This is crazy.
All right, Bill Binney, let me go back to you. What Executive Order 12333, it was revised in the final 2 weeks of the Obama presidency, as you know. But you believe it is that executive order, EO 12333. You believe it is that executive order that allows our government to literally wiretap and metadata store every phone call of every citizen, every text, every email? That's your belief? That's happening?
It's actually Section 23C that actually says if you have the intent to find a drug dealer, for example, in a 64 fiber line or a 10 gigabit line, if you believe there's a drug dealer in there, you can go in and collect all the data on the line, store it, mine it, and do whatever you want to with it and preserve it, even though the vast, say, 99.999% of it is domestic communications.
Unbelievable. All
right. I mean, this is nothing new. This has been going on for a long time. I mean, even...
So every phone conversation I have in my life, do you believe has been taped?
Without warrants, yes, that's right.
What do you just say there? That's from Sean Hannity, folks, unless you want to call him a conspiracy wacko. But even Sean Hannity admits, he posed the obvious question. I mean, every conversation, okay, once in a while they get me, so they want to sell me a pair of jeans or something because I said jeans. But every conversation in my whole life, what'd the guy say? Yeah, and it was upgraded by Obama. Every conversation is being taped. Now, again, that's not just disturbing, but that's in place right now. Where are we going with this? In the seven-year tribulation, when somebody called the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple halfway into the seven-year tribulation and says, worship me, I am God. And you know there's going to be some people, quote, followers of God, who say, no. Well, how's he going to know? How's he going to know practically on a global basis and micromanage every single person, whether they did or didn't? If I had it, I'd pull it up. It's called the cell phone. The biggest Big Brother device ever invented in the history of mankind. It's not coming. It's already here, and everybody's got to have one. Crazy. Interesting. But that's just the first deceitful lie. The second one is they say, hey, we'll never track you. No, we'll monitor you, and we'll never track you. You liars. And folks, I believe that this is important because I think this is explaining the exact same device. Also explains the other thing that's going on to the people who get slaughtered in the seven-year tribulation. Let's go back to that text, Matthew 24, 9 through 10. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and to what? Put to death. and you'll be hated by all nations because of me, Jesus said. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. So again, we see that somehow the Antichrist is going to have the ability to know what people are doing. Somehow there has to be some device that everybody has, some way, some means that every person could be listened into, monitored to, and in order to be betrayed and turned in if they don't do what he says to do. A cell phone does that. But what's the other thing? It isn't just he gets this alert, hey, this person over here didn't. And this person over here, he gets a whole list of everybody on the planet who said no. What's the second thing? He tells you the penalty. And what is the penalty? You're going to die. Now, again, it's one thing to get a list of people all around the world who said, no, I'm not going to worship the Antichrist. But then you got to think about the second half. How are you going to find them anywhere on the planet in order to kill them? Well, wouldn't it be deceitful? Wouldn't it be just like a big old liar to do something like this? Wouldn't it be incredible if somehow they could take that same device that is monitoring their every conversation, knowing who's worshiping the Antichrist and who's not, even watching everything they do? If that same device could also track them and pinpoint their exact location, so when the order is given to kill them, you know exactly where to go? Folks, that's exactly what the cell phone is able to do. There's no way. Okay? In fact, let me show you how even if you try to shut things off and do whatever, they still find out everywhere you go, everywhere you've been, all on the same device. Watch this.
The U.S. is funneling money into tracking systems that are threatening to make the very concept of privacy a thing of the past. It could mean people's every move being used against them to keep them under surveillance. RT's Marina Portnaya looks at the future of being watched.
The information age was an era nearly everybody embraced. But today's surveillance age, experts say, is a reality almost no one can escape.
We are 5 years away in New York from zero privacy, from every New Yorker being tracked and cataloged and watched, and that information being saved for pretty much an indeterminate period of time.
Face recognition and iris scanning are the current tools of the trade. However, scientists are reportedly developing new technology aimed at identifying anyone from much greater distances. If researchers are successful, the Defense Department may eventually be able to detect individuals by ear shape, heartbeat, walking patterns, and possibly even odor. Long-range fingerprint and iris scanning are reportedly also being explored for the U.S. toolbox of tracking.
I think that we're not going to have a private moment in the future. And I always tell people, listen, if you want to have an extramarital affair, you better have it right now, because you're not going to be able to have it in 5 years, because everything will be tracked. Your husband or wife will be able to know exactly where you are at all times.
Do I think it's appropriate that somebody can press a button and determine everywhere I've been, everything I've done, everyone I've been with? No, it's wrong.
Hard to believe that just 10 years ago, the concept of facial recognition, biometric surveillance, and domestic drones was limited to science fiction movies like Minority Report.
Ooh, there's that movie again. We saw it last time. It's like a constant theme. It's almost like that science fiction movie is becoming a reality. Interesting. Folks, where is this taking place? This wasn't Russia. This wasn't Moscow. This is not China. This is in the United States of America. No privacy whatsoever. Oh, unless you think it's just only going to be here. No, it's going global. Quote, the NSA has a diverse range of surveillance capabilities, from monitoring Google Maps to sifting through millions of people's phone call records and spying on web searches, but it doesn't end there. The agency can also track down the location, listen, the location of a cell phone, even if it's been turned off. This was as back as September 2004, shortly after the 9/11 attacks, when we had all that stuff passed through that gave it the right. We gotta get rid of privacy because we gotta get those terrorists. Now they came up a technique, NSA technique, to find anybody on their cell phone, and simply, you know what it was called? The find. You want to find them? We'll find exactly out where they are anywhere on the planet. The technique was used in Iraq to help identify thousands of new targets, including members of Al-Qaeda. Well, see, that's great. That's why we've got to do it. That's the slippery slope. What if you became the terrorist? Who gets to define that anyway? Of who needs to be rounded up and killed because we don't like what they're doing. To find you anywhere on the planet with the cell phone. And folks, I'm telling you, it's going on a massive, massive scale. Like we can even dream. I don't care what you do to your phone, folks. It's still going on. Everything that we do. Let's take a look at this.
We know that Google is tracking us. We agree to it when we set up our phones. So we wanted to figure out what exactly Google is learning about us throughout the day. So here's what we're going to do. We have two identical phones. The only difference between these two phones is this one is in airplane mode. Both of the phones lack a SIM card, and they haven't been set up to access any Wi-Fi networks. So for all intents and purposes, these phones have no connection to a data network. We're going to keep them with us throughout the day. And while I travel around D.C., we're going to figure out just what Google is finding out about me.
Our first stop, Sims Convenience Store, just outside our Fox Bureau, for a quick coffee. From there, we took a walk to the Capitol and took a quick walk around the Senate office buildings and then decided to hop in a car and head around town.
Hello. We're going to the Children's Hospital, please.
To run our test, we had to do more than walk the block, so we took a tour around our nation's capital. First, due north to the Children's National Medical Center Hospital, then west to St. Albans School and the National Cathedral. Our tour around town was a 14-mile journey that lasted more than an hour. The entire time, the phones had no access to the internet.
Oh my goodness.
Not a Wi-Fi connection and not any cellular data service. It almost seemed quaint to assume that Google wouldn't even be able to collect data on me.
Let's head back to the bureau, my friend.
So we're back here at our Fox Bureau in DC, and we've got both of our phones exactly how we left with them. The only difference, really, I snapped a couple of bad selfies at the National Cathedral. But otherwise, they have stayed in my pocket for the entire day. So let's find out what they know. This is our man-in-the-middle device. It's basically a Wi-Fi network that these phones are going to connect to once we turn their Wi-Fi on. It's going to pass data through it on the way to Google, but on the way, we're actually going to get a copy of the same data that Google's going to get. We'll be able to decrypt it and then find out where we've been throughout the day.
Within minutes, the numbers rolled in. The phone that wasn't on airplane mode registered more than 100 locations, 130 activities, and even 152 barometric readings. As soon as it hooked up to our Wi-Fi, it transmitted 300 kilobytes of data straight to Google. The phone even logged our exact locations, tracking us all around town, the Capitol, the hospital, the school, and the cathedral.
Now, you may notice what's missing here is the exact route that we took. But it got that data, too. It knows when I got out of the car.
The metadata has a time log down to the very second, tracking everything when they think that you're walking, riding, and yes, even getting out of the car.
Okay, so you're thinking, this isn't a big deal. I'll just put my phone in airplane mode. Yeah, we thought of that, too. This is the other phone that we had with us that no SIM card also remained in airplane mode the entire time. Let's see what kind of data it captured.
The phone with airplane mode activated actually logged more locations and activities than the other phone, and it also transferred hundreds of kilobytes of data to Google as soon as it was activated. They're even following you in the places that most people would expect total privacy: government buildings, a children's hospital, a private school, a church. Every move you make, every step you take, Google is watching you.
What? What's that word again? How do you describe that behavior? You liar. That's deceitful. I mean, I had suspicions, and that's why I disconnected it from the Wi-Fi network. You can't get me then, right? I put it in airplane mode. I mean, and the thing, as soon as it gets a signal, uploads it, which, by the way, it uploads what? What it was watching, monitoring, tracking, recording the whole time. It never stops. Now, you might be one of those people out there say, well, I'll tell you what, I got it figured out. Here's a low-tech solution. They won't be able to track me with my phone. I'm going to take the battery out. Yes! And I quote, this cell phone can make calls even without a battery. How? They harvest energy sources from other things around you. Watch this. It's an actual article. In order to operate without a battery, the phone would have to rely only on energy that could be harvested from its surroundings. That could mean getting it from ambient light, ambient light that can be turned into electricity, solar panels with photodiodes, radio frequency, television frequency, Wi-Fi broadcasts can also be converted into energy using an antenna. And they like this because they say this, why, you would never have to worry about leaving your charger at home ever. Why? Because now you don't even need a battery. Which means, as long as you got that device, you're being monitored, man. You could shut it off, take the battery out, click this off, do whatever. That thing is monitoring you, listening you, watching you, and tracking your every move. And folks, lest you think this ain't going global, it already has. Watch this.
This is the latest revelation from spy agency documents that were leaked by the former U.S. security contractor Edward Snowden. Now, Canada's electronic spy agency and the NSA in the U.S. and counterparts in Australia, New Zealand, and the U.K., just a few years ago, we're trying to find ways to hack into people's mobile phones to track them, even install spyware.
Smartphones are everywhere. Seems everyone's got one for work, play, banking, talking to loved ones. So a surprise for some that those personal phones and their apps can be vulnerable to snooping by hackers, criminals, even spies.
I think it's scary. Like, we're on our phones 24/7. We use it for school. We use it for social media.
Top secret documents from Canada's Communications Security Establishment show Canada and its allies have worked not to hack all mobile phones, but elsewhere in Europe, Africa, the Caribbean. They were looking for servers that could be exploited, used to secretly implant spyware into a suspect's smartphone.
What was particularly striking was to see some of the biggest names in technology in the mobile world being the target, the Samsungs and Apples of the world that millions and millions of consumers and the public rely upon a daily basis.
They can use this data to track targets of interest, political targets, terrorists, and so on.
Whoa, where'd you even start with that? Now they're not even waiting for you to download an app. They can get into your phone and put in this thing into your phone, and what'd they say? They will find you. It becomes a global tracking device. All over the world. As we close, let's go one last time to that text. Jesus said, the people in the seven-year tribulation, you made the worst mistake of your life. You should have gotten saved right now and avoid the whole thing. But you said no. So you were left behind. But praise God, this gospel still went forth. You got saved. But now they're coming after you. How in the world are they going to know who obeys the Antichrist and who doesn't, micromanaging every single person on the planet on a global scale? And how in the world is he going to be able to give an order to say, take that person out, that person out, that person out, that person? How are they going to find him? Do you see the answer? In our lifetime, something we take for granted and everybody's got to have, and I'll say it one last time, and we pay for it. That's deceitful. It's called the cell phone. And it's here just in time for the seven-year tribulation, micromanaging of the planet. And that's why Jesus said, hey, man, when these things take place, what do? Freak out, run, hide to the hills. No, he says, stand up. Lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Folks, all that is, I am firmly convinced, going to be coming into play ultimately, infinitely, in the seven-year tribulation. We, the church, leave prior. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we have the ability to pull this off for the first time in the history of mankind. Minute passages are coming to pass. With current technology, time is running out. If you're here as a Christian today, if you're distracted, stop getting distracted. Stop living for this world. Get busy living for Jesus and love people enough to tell them the truth. Put the hand sanitizer down. Don't be a hypocrite. You say you love them. Love them enough to tell them of what's coming to this planet and encourage them to run to Jesus. That's the only thing we should be living for. But if you're here today and you're not saved, I don't know your heart, but God does. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. Don't be left behind. Why would you do that? Why would you make that horrible mistake? Run to Jesus now before it's too late. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death. In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the Scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus, so that we can now have a relationship with God, both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven.
while you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.